Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
I want to get right into the Word of God. Those of you that have your Bibles, again, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We've been teaching from the subject of growing into sonship, growing into sonship. Even though we are born again as sons and daughters of God, and again, we're not talking about the gender as much as we are talking about relationship, mature offspring. In other words, it's not about male or female. When we talk about sonship, we're talking about your relationship to and with God. In our relationship with God, we need to grow in it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 tells us, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So there's a growth process, there's a maturity process. And in order for the church to fulfill the vision and the call that God has placed on it, we must grow up and mature in the things of God. Now I want to use as a subtopic, put that title back up. I want you to realize that my subtopic this morning is growing into the image of Jesus. God had a plan and purpose specific for all of our lives. And we need to understand what that purpose is. And if you follow these scriptures, praise God, and open up your eyes and heart to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, you will begin to see this from the scriptures. So we're going to look again. And I'm going to move quickly because a lot of this material, I'm just relaying foundation. And I, again, go back and get all the things that I preached on it. But by now, you should have a good foundation laid in your life. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start reading with here. Let's start with verse 14, and we're going to read through verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this: "So as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That's what we're talking about, growing in the sonship. And one attribute and sign of spiritual growth is when you begin to be led by your spirit and not by your flesh or emotions or feelings. That's my maturity. Babes, or you hurt my feelings, and you took my shovel, and I'm, you know, babes, they are immature. And they are led by the flesh. And before we get saved, we were led by our flesh. We were not reborn. But once we are saved, one of the signs of maturity is that we're led by the Spirit. If someone says something to you, I respond in the Spirit. I stay in love. I stay in faith. Hallelujah. Against such there is no law. I was teaching on that this morning about the fruit of the reborn Spirit is love, joy, meekness, temperance. These things control our life. And you find a lot of people that are still in strife and argumentative and division. Well, they're just immature. Don't mean they're not saved. It just means they are what 1 Corinthians chapter 3 called carnally minded Christians, or Christians that are still controlled by their flesh and not their spirit. So many are the sons of God. We're talking about growing in the sonship. Many are led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. "For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba," which means daddy, father. "And the Spirit," Holy Spirit, capital S, "itself bears witness with our own," small s, "reborn spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs," we're going to talk about that, "and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together." And that suffering is not sickness and disease, of going, you know, lacking food and provision. That suffering is putting your flesh under. That suffering is loving the unlovely. That suffering is whatever we have to do and go through for Christ's sake, all the inconveniences. He says if we're going to reign with him, there are going to be some uncomfortable situations. And not talking about sickness and disease, by stripes we're healed. Not talking about going without. Our God meets all of our needs. But if you're a Christian, Jesus himself said, if you be in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And then he goes into these sufferings, and he goes on and he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And this glory is growing in the sonship. This glory is when Jesus is manifested. He says, as you are, so am I. As he is, so are we in this world. And if we, when we grow up, we got to grow into him. And that means putting your flesh under. If you really want to be honest, read the whole 8th chapter of Romans, and it starts out with verse 1. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's talking about putting your flesh under. All through that, it goes on to say, for the works of the flesh are these and that, and we that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit and not the flesh. It's talking about suffering. In other words, putting your flesh under. As Christians, nobody wants to be yelled at or talked ugly to or called names. But there are going to be people going to do that. And the Bible says that Jesus said, bless them. Well, that's suffering. Because I don't feel like blessing you when you didn't bless me. You know, you swing at me, I don't want to turn the other cheek. But as Christians, we are led by the Spirit. It's not an eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth. Jesus introduced the law of love. And that's what I'm saying. Growing into his image, becoming like him, is going to require putting our flesh under. But the sufferings of this present time, he said, is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Then he tells us what that glory is. For conjunction. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of all the creation is waiting for the manifestation, the revealing of what? The sons of God. All of creation, sin affected not only Adam, but everyone that was born of Adam. Man is born into sin. And from sin, there's different, you know, destruction and sickness and disease. And all of creation, why people are on drugs and alcohol and murder and rape, all of creation, all of that is a result of sin. They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the revealing of the sons of God. The church has been called, hallelujah, to bring healing to the world. The world ain't gonna heal itself. We are the church. Jesus was the head. When Jesus came down here, he came to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, win souls to God. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Then when he, for 3.5 years, praise God, ministered around the shores of Galilee, Sermon on the Mount, he went, he ascended back to the Father, sat down and turned over the Great Commission to the church. Go into all the world. So all of the world has been affected by sin, and they're crying out for deliverance. Where are the sons of God? Where's the one with the burden removing, yoke destroying power? Where's the one with healing? Where's the one with deliverance? How can I get free from these drugs? How can I get free from this addiction? How can I get free from abuse? We have the answer to the world. The world ain't going to heal itself. We have the same call and commission that Jesus had. Put this up in Amplified, and we'll see it even more clear. For the Spirit which you now receive is not the spirit of slavery, again, to put you once more in the bondage to fear. When you were born again, God didn't put another spirit of fear in us. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But you receive the spirit of, what's this, adoption. The spirit producing what? Sonship. Just because you became, got born again, now we got to grow into that sonship. That's what this whole series is about. As sons and daughters of God, we grow into sonship in bliss, in which we cry now, Abba, which means daddy, father. We got a father. I'm born again. I got a heavenly father. I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God, but you must grow into that. That don't mean, just like some of you got kids. I see some of you brought your kids this morning. Well, you're not going to take that 5 or 7-year-old and put a loaded rifle in their hand. That's too much power. They got to mature. You're not going to... When the insurance, someone come to sell you insurance, little Johnny, go out here and make a decision on health care. No, they're not mature enough. You got to grow in the sonship. How many understand what I'm saying? Any of you with kids know you are not going to give a 6-year-old the key to your car. Some of you might, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to give it to them by faith. Well, you better by faith have some good insurance, because they're going to wreck it. Why? They're not mature. You got to grow in the sonship. You'll see this whole thing. Keep going. For the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our spirit. Sure enough, yeah, we are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only, we're going to talk about that inheritance, we must share in his suffering if we're to share in his glory. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, whatever I have to do, whatever adversity, whatever backlash I get for preaching the gospel, people don't like past days. The sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. What glory is talking about? Next verse. For. Always remember, little conjunction. That glory, now he's going to tell you what the glory is. For even the whole creation, all of nature, sin affected everything and everybody. That's why Jesus came. For this purpose was the Son of God, and we're going to go over there and manifest, reveal, that he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Jesus sat down, we got the same call, to bring healing to the nation. See, the world is not going to heal itself if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, and seek my faith. He said, all of creation. Yeah, they long for. They yearn for God's sons. In other words, his offspring, you and I, to be made known. Where's the one that can get me healed? Listen, they wait for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. Listen, this is personal to me. I came off of the streets of Ampon. I was bound by drugs and alcohol and Quaaludes and acid and window panes and pill. And really, I was crying out for deliverance. That's all. There are people still hurting. There are people still bound. There are people in this pandemic. There are people that are going without. There are people trying to figure it all out. There are people that have lost loved ones. Some of you may even know them. Some of you may be. They're hurting folks. All humanity is still hurting. There are folks that have suicidal tendencies because they're trying to figure out how to pay bills. And I just lost my job and I got help. I don't have health care. I'm sick. Sin has affected everything. And they are all waiting on our sonship for you and I to bring deliverance to them. Put up a first statement. All of hurting humanity around us. And I know this. I remember, man. That's why I was doing the drugs. That's why I was getting high. That's why I was. I really wanted help. So I felt like if I got high, if I got drunk, if I smoked marijuana, if I did drop pills, maybe it'd all go away. I was just hurting. And there's still people out there. And somehow the church has become distracted from its call. All of hurting humanity around us are waiting for the manifestation, the revealing. Manifest means to be brought into public view. They're looking for someone that looked just like Jesus. That's why when Jesus came on the scene as the Son of God, the leper, those that were blind, the sick, there was crowds that thronged him. They were waiting for deliverance. Messiah has come. Now Messiah has gone back and sat down and he's turned over the Great Commission to the church. Creation is still hurting. That's what this church is here for. Not just to have pretty pews and say, we got new this and God is messing with that. It's an open the doors. Jesus said those that are whole don't need a physician. I come for the sick, the halt, the blind, the lame, the withered. And all they're waiting for manifestation. They're saying, where are the sons of God? Where's the one, someone that can get me free, man? And I'll never forget when I walked in that church. Actually, it wasn't a church. My mama's prayer got me saved, but I was in a little upper room, and I could feel her prayers. And I said, God, if you're out there, do something with my life. And the Spirit of God changed me at my sister's house, that little upper room, and I got saved. I got born again. I came back to church. By the way, you don't have to be in church to get saved. The Spirit of God will be wherever you are. If you pray the sinner's prayer, if you repent right at that bar, God himself, God is a honky-tonk goer. He'll be right there just in case you repent. Some of you think, ooh, them. Now, God is in that place. God is in that house, that liquor house? Why? Some people think you got to be at church. Drag people to church. They pop five, drag them in the door. Go to the altar. No. Just pray to God. The Spirit of God came on me. I gave my life to the Lord. And that's when this journey began in 1974. Almost 45 years ago. Scripture reference, Little John 5:19. We positively know. How many of you know you're born of God? See, we know that. But somehow once we get saved, we forget that there are people out there, sinners still sinning. There's still people bound, committing suicide, young people open, particularly during this pandemic. Folks that are hurting, folks that are brokenhearted, bruised, all. We positively know that we are God, but the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. Sin affected everybody. And they're under the satanic problem. We are not wrestling with flesh, but principalities and power. There are drug addicts and gangs, and there's rape, and there's murder, and there's folks. All of this is a result of sin. There's a power behind it. And they are waiting on the sons of God, the Bible says. Amen? Do I have another statement here? Okay. Then let's go to the next scripture, which is what we got to mature. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And look at verse 29, and we're going to read chapter 3 into chapter 4. Galatians 3:29, and we quote this all the time. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. I'm the seed of Abraham. And when we think about the seed of Abraham, we think about the blessings of Abraham. Blessed going in, blessed going out. I'm the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. All of those things are great. But notice here what he says. He says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heir. Ooh, I'm an heir of the promise of God. Everything God has belonged to me, and everything that I have belonged to God. And I know he got the short end of the stick, but I'm an heir. I'm an inheritor. That's right. We all are. But what happens is a lot of us stop there, and we just get caught up on the blessing of Abraham. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. Deuteronomy 28, and the head and not the tail. Yeah, you are. But let's keep reading. It didn't stop there. Chapter 4, verse 1. Yeah, you're an heir. Look what verse 1 says. But I say that an heir, he's still talking about you. As long as he's a child or immature, he differs nothing from a servant or a slave. Though he be Lord of all, though everything God has belong to you and is for you. But you're under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. There's a fixed time that we walk in that inheritance. Put this up in Amplified, it's even clearer. Now what I mean is this, I like that. As long as an inheritor, I'm an heir. But as long as you're a child, underage, he does not differ anything from a slave. Though he's the master of the whole estate, hold that. Everything God has belonging, you in the wheel, the house, the car, you're blessed going in, blessed going out. You're going to inherit it. But as long as you're immature, he says you're no different. He says that everything belonged to you. And I want to remind you, before you look at verse 2, about what we call the prodigal son. Give me mine inheritance. But he was immature. He hadn't matured yet. You know, that's why if your son, your daughter, how many of you know babies sometimes go places that they shouldn't go? I don't care how you train them. When immature people, they come home and you're like, where you been, boy? Well, that's why son came out of them. Well, they're not ready for the world. They're still immature. And he says, though, you know, if you get your inheritance before your maturity, what did the prodigal son do? Give me mine inheritance. He gave him a bowl. What happened? He went and wasted it. On what? Riotous living, drinking, alcohol. Why? He wasn't mature. You don't give power to a seven-year-old. You don't put an AK-47 rifle or automatic weapon in the hands of a seven-year-old and say, now, be careful, it's loaded. They're going to get you for child abuse. No, that you don't give. So what happened then? Verse 2, this is what happens. But he's under guardians. He's under administrators and trustees until the day fixed of the Father. It's not that God don't want you to have it. He wants you to show maturity. And here what he's talking about is the whole world is waiting on us to mature in our sonship so God can turn not just stuff over to us. And this is what you got to begin to understand. Because most people, like, because when they start talking about the heirs of God and my stuff, and don't get me wrong, God wants you blessed. He wants you out of debt. He wants to give you your own car. He wants to give you a house. God wants to bless you. Amen. Everything the Father has, notice, is fixed of the Father. He's in the will. So it ain't that God don't want you to have it. But true maturity is more than just spiritual things. Put up my next statement. Got to move fast so I can get into my message. Until we mature and grow in love, and now our full inheritance is delayed because we're under tutorship. That's why God having me teach this series about growing in the sonship. Because some people think because I'm blessed and look at my car, look at my house, and look at my dish, and I'm prosperous, that they're mature. That's not a sign of maturity. Birthdays don't necessarily bring maturity. How many of you know that? Stuff don't necessarily bring maturity. We just talked about the prodigal son was immature. So he went out and he wasted all of his inheritance on riotous living and found himself slopping hogs. There's a bunch of old fools. You can be old. Never learn. There's three ways to learn. The easy way, the hard way, and the tragic way. The easy way is look at other people's mistakes and say, you know what, I ain't going to rob that bank. He'll go to jail. The way of the transgressor is hard. You know what, I'm not going to do them drugs. Look what happened at the end of, you know, I'm not going to drink alcohol. Look, they had a wreck. The hard way is when you have to learn from your own mistakes. And experience is not always the best teacher. Because I don't want to experience a car wreck of being drunk to learn or go to jail to say, you know what, you don't want to go to jail. I know that from, I've been there. No, you don't have to experience. But sometimes because we don't listen to God, a child don't listen, we some of you will tell them, you're going to have to learn, go to the school of hard knocks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And some of them still don't get it. And so the third way is the tragic way. You didn't learn by other mistakes nor by your own. And that's tragic because sometimes people do wake up. See, the prodigal son, what happened? In the middle of that experience, in them hog pen, he said, wait a minute. My God, the servants in my father's house are living better than I am. And the Bible says he did what? He came to himself. And so we're under guardians, we're under teachers. That's why I'm teaching this series. Not just not born again, are you mature enough? Do you understand what to do with the inheritance? So now let me show you the second part of this inheritance, which you've got to understand it. Well, notice 1 Corinthians 13:11. He said, long as he's a child, right? So when I was a child, now remember this is 1 Corinthians 13:11, which is the chapter on love. Love is kind. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love is not puffed up or proud or haughty. Love believes the best of every person. Love is, you know, do I give my body and everything to be better? Have not love, it profit me nothing. You can be prophesying, have faith to rule mount. So there are a lot of people got the gifts of the Spirit doing all this, but that don't mean they're mature. And so Paul ends this and said, when I was a child, talking about not being immature, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I was done away with childish ways. I put them aside. True maturity is when you grow up. Part of it is growing up in love. And this is why Paul was saying he could not take the church where he wanted to. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, he said, I wanted to feed you with milk, a meat, but I couldn't because you were carnal. There's envy and strife and divisions, and we still see a lot of that in the church today. Christians, conservative, love God of every denomination there is. And by the way, I'm not preaching from any standpoint from the Word of God. Ain't nothing about your color. Ain't nothing about your blood. He said, until you grow up, I'm going to delay your inheritance. I'm not going to give you unlimited wealth because you're not ready for it. But notice our inheritance is not just about growing up in love. I want to show you this. Look at this next statement. Our inheritance is more than material blessing. Yeah, you're the seed of Abraham. Thank God for debt cancellation. Thank God for your nice car you got parked out there. Oh, you're living in a gated community. Oh, you got a 5, 10, whatever, 1,000 square foot house. That don't mean you're mature. And a lot of people stop. They think, well, you know, gain is godliness. Praise God. Well, our inheritance is more than that. Our inheritance is more than just material blessing. It's also bringing deliverance to a dying world. Because what is all of creation waiting for? The sons of God to bring deliverance. Those with the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. That's part of me preaching gospel now. This message is going not only to our members that are streaming live at home. This message is going right now to, we get hits all of the countries. Other states in the United States, and that's part of growing people up, getting the word out. There are people hurting. There are people who are just trying to figure out they need the gospel. And so this is amazing scripture because notice he said, as long as you're a child, I'm not going to give you your inheritance. So most people think, well, yeah, I want my stuff. I want my money. I want my car. I want my wealth. I want all. But look at part of our inheritance in Psalms 2, verse 7 and 8. He said, I would declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. I want to remind you the same calling Jesus had on him, we have on us. As thou hast sent me, even I send you. So he's talking to not just one son, he's talking to the body of Christ. He said, this day have I begot thee, gave birth to you. How many of you born again? I mean, you're son and daughter of God. Watch his next statement. And I like how he put it. Acts of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts for thy possession. The heathen, the unsaved man, the person that's backslidden, those that are rejected, the unlovable, those that don't know God. Those that's out in the streets, those that's in the prison, those that's the heathen is part of our inheritance. And notice he said, but you got to ask of me. I want you to not just pray for stuff. I want you to start praying for souls. God, give me souls in the triad in the name of Jesus. God, let this message touch those that are brokenhearted, bruised, every alcoholic, over every dope addict, every person that is bound and brokenhearted and bruised. Give me the heathen in the name of Jesus. Give me, I don't care where they are, Lord. I pray. He said, that's true maturity. He said, I'll give you soul. Not only will I give you the car, the house, and the home and prosperity as part of your inheritance. Part of your inheritance, true maturity is when you get the wealth, what you going to use it for? Are you going to use it to reach the lost? Are you going to get cameras so that you can go into all the world? Or is this going to be about your house and car? And God says it's all yours. I want you to have that. But when you mature, money is for reaching souls. It is the Lord that giveth thee the power to get wealth that he might establish his covenant, his word. And see, God says, I can't give you unlimited wealth because you still think it's about you. You don't care about the heathen. You don't care about the guy that's contemplating suicide. There was one guy one Sunday morning that was driving up and down the street. And he was going to kill himself. True testimony. I think some of you was part of this. Had a gun. He was looking for a place to just blow his head, pull over. And God says, pull over in this church. It was Word of Life. And when he pulled over, he got a conviction. And he pulled on up. And he said, it's not filling this force. It was the Holy Spirit. And he got out of the car, walked in here, and came to the altar. One of the ushers told me, said, gave up his gun and got saved right here. And later on told us, I was going to blow my head out, but I heard the gospel. He was crying out for deliverance. God is concerned about the heathen. Thank God for a house, a car, and our gated communities and our nice designer suits and clothes. But it's more, your inheritance is more than just stuff. It's God is saying, ask of me, start praying. For the forming latter rain, for revival, let it fall on the heathen. Let souls come. Shake the nations, God. Open the eyes of sinners, hallelujah. How many truly mature people are doing that now. You don't even hear altar calls in most faith churches anymore. It's all about seed, sowing seed. That's fine. And I'm not, nothing is wrong with that. But that, it's not limited to stuff. True maturity is when you say, God, I want souls. And see, a guy like me, as much as God has prospered me and my wife and family, this church, I can't forget where I came from. My friends that was out there in the pool hall, my friends that was bound into the highways and hedges. And so when you get that wealth, you got to remember, part of my inheritance is winning the law. Now, I understand there's a pandemic right now. I understand we're limited, but you know what? You don't have to touch nobody to lead them to the Lord. I'm being from here to there. Huh? And just think if all the Christians, thank God for our nurses and doctors that are dealing with all the nearly 500,000 people have given in to COVID-19. But you know what would be more powerful? If that was a son and daughter of God right before they took their last breath. Not worrying about the ventilator. Pray this with me. Hallelujah. Because God is concerned about souls. And true maturity is not just about you and your stuff. It don't exclude it. God wants you blessed. You're the seed of Abraham. But you're still so childish, you think it's all about you. You're still self. He said, I want you, how many of you, how many ministries have an intercession for the community's souls? God, give us heathens. Thank you for the car. Thank you for the house. Thank you for my clothes. Thank you for the gated community. Thank you for the plush carpet. Thank you for the design of this and design of that. You've blessed me. And that's thank God for my inheritance. But God, give me souls. So the church is going to be responsible for the heathen also, and not just the stuff. And nothing's wrong with it. How many of you understand I'm not condemning that? That's part of your inheritance. God says there's a fixed time for it. But if you get it before the time, you'll see a person's immaturity. That's why a lot of people that's not mature win the lottery. Most of them will be broke within a year. Why? They ain't never had any money, so they don't know what to do with it. They're immature. Instead of using it to win the loss and sow to help other people and bind up the brokenhearted, all they know is some stuff, man. I'm going to get me some bling bling. And you know, and they look like Mr. T. They got gold here and a gold chain there, and they put gold in the teeth. They get a car that's got gold rims and it's bouncing up and down the road, you know, and then when the car stops, the rim's still going, you know, man. Immature. You ever seen people like that? Ain't never had nothing? Yeah. A Mercedes-Benz speak for itself. You don't have to write on the window, Mercedes-Benz. Big and big loud, like we can't see this. We know it's a Mercedes. They put it in the front and back. I saw a person had a BMW, and on the side they had painted Beamer. We know it's a BMW, and that's the name they call it. But they want you to know, just in case you can't see the star. Mercedes Benz. You can't even about to have a wreck. Can't even see out the back window because that big old decal back. What am I trying to say? That's a sign of immaturity. You just devalued the car. Now when you trade it in, you can't get all that stuff. Although nobody don't want that thing. No, I ain't gonna give you nothing for that. All that glue on the window. Okay. I just use that to show you that wealth is for mature people. And God wants us to use it to reach the heathen. What type of investment are you making? That's why we invested in our young people, invested in this, invest to impact other lives. That's part of our inheritance. Now, go back to Romans chapter 8. Let me get into my message. Someone say, what you been doing? Laying a foundation again. Look at Romans chapter 8, So God, all the creation is waiting for us to mature. God said, I'm not going to turn on unlimited wealth over until you get a compassion for heathen too. I believe that's why God has blessed this church with a debt-free ministry right now, because God said, this man wants souls. This man wants lives. This man, because immediately the time God saved me, well, the first thing I did was went back into the pool halls, back into the dope houses. Boy, some of you remember that, and start getting people saved, born again. That's how Word of Life started. And then they begin to have Bible study. These guys that was brown by drugs and got delivered, and folks I went to school with, and folks, some of them I didn't know. And then they said, what are we going to do? And I started a community Bible study. Not trying to start a church, but it was, listen. Back then, I had one pair of slick pants. I earned those black pants so much, they were shiny, they were flimsy. I was so into people, my wife said, babe, don't you think it's time for you maybe to get some more clothes? No, I just need to go win the loss. No, you need to get some more clothes, don't they? What's happening? I was after heathens more than stuff. Don't get me wrong, God said, well, you know, I can trust this guy. With wealth and heathens. Because you don't use people to get money. You use money to win people. And soon as we got money, I'm saying, let's go on television. We can reach more people. How can we reach more people? Let's make an investment in the kingdom for heathen. I'm saved, but there are folks still out in the world that's not. And they're waiting on the sons and daughters of God. Now look at Romans. I want to show you something. Go back to Romans, our foundation scripture, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look with me at verse 19 first. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of all creation is doing what? Waiting. The heathen is waiting. The drug addict, the brokenhearted, the bruised are waiting. Those in COVID-19, sick, halt, lame. Those that's homeless, those, they're waiting for the sons of God. The Amplified says this, verse 19. For the earnest expectation, even all of creation, all of nature waits expectantly, longs earnestly for sons to be made known. Where are the sons of God? Who can help me? That's what that guy who was driving down the street, he was looking for someone to help him. And the Spirit of God called him, brought him in here. He came to altar, God saved. Matter of fact, that happened again one time when I was preaching to the project. We brought all of our musicians and all of our choir, and we put them outside. See, sometimes you have to go get them. Anybody ain't gonna come to your plush carpet church. And we were giving away free food and groceries, and people were giving blood, and they thought it was, what's the catch? They were scared. No, ain't no catch. We were just preaching the gospel. And it was one guy who came to me, brought this gun, and said, you know what? I was gonna kill so-and-so. But you know what? I was listening to you. I want you to take that. Well, of course, the police was out there. I turned it over to him. I said, this guy won't turn in his gun. Got saved, got born again. You know why people are doing drugs and alcohol? Because they're crying out for help. They're waiting on who? The sons of God. Where are the sons? Somebody can get me free. They wait for the revealing, the disclosure of their sonship. But we can't be caught up in stuff. Mature sons are trying to reach heathens too. Now look at verse 28 and 29 from the same chapter here. Now I want to help some of you from here. If you get this, you're gonna see it clear. And we know that all things, this ain't talking about bad things, it's talking about, if you read the verse before, it's talking about when you're praying the Holy Ghost, all the things of God. Praying in the Spirit. We don't know what to pray for, you all, but the Spirit itself make it intercessory. We're going, when we begin to pray for one another, we know all things of God work together for the good of them that love God. Now watch this. To them who are called according to what? According to what? His purpose. Say his purpose. Say his purpose. Say, I want to know what is his purpose for my life. Are y'all ready at home? You just streaming? Watch this. Verse 29. Far. How many caught that? What is far? A conjunction. So he's going to tell you what his purpose is. For all whom he did foreknow. God knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. He also did predestinate, here come the purpose, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many, watch this, sons or brethren. The same purpose Jesus came was the same purpose God has for you. To be conformed, to grow into the image of his son. To become just like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, heal like Jesus, have compassion like Jesus, came to heal the sick, raise the dead, lepers was cleansed, blind eyes open. He said, when you mature, the same purpose. He says, call according to his purpose. For, he's telling you the purpose. Why I had you born again? I'm predestinating you to be conformed to the image of my son. Where are the sons of God? We got to grow, be conformed. We ain't there yet. How many of you look just like Jesus? Nobody in here. Well, I'm getting, you should be looking more like him than you did a year ago. You still cussing, fighting. You know, in the world saying, I know that ain't no son of God. Huh? You still broke, mean. I know that ain't no son of God. Come on. Why? Because they use Jesus. That's what God, that was his original intent. That was his purpose for having you and I born again, to reproduce Christ in us. And that's a, I gotta die daily. That's part of the suffering he's talking about. I must decrease, but he must increase. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Reason people can't see Christ, because there's still too much of you alive. You ain't mature enough yet. You still fussing on the job and wanting to threaten them people. Y'all give me this bad work. That's God, I'm a Christian. You ain't get that man nothing. And then they write you up in the supervisor. Now you're being persecuted. For right now, you're being persecuted because you are immature. You go to McDonald's and people trying to sit there. Well, now, you know, you don't have to worry about that. Now, most places you can't go eat, but public restaurant, you want everybody to know you're a Christian. You just shout, hallelujah, glory to be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Or you go to the hospital, and you're up there praying, and you can pray, but they put, please be quiet, patience, and you're like, in the name of Jesus Christ, devil, cut out. You just shouting and acting all stupid and spitting and hollering, and then the security come down there and get you and say, shh, you don't persecute me. Then they put you out, and you're talking about you've been persecuted for righteousness. Now you've been persecuted because you're stupid. You're immature. Jesus wouldn't go in the hospital like that. And so we got to look at Jesus now. And I'm trying to, from here on out, everything I preach about going into sonship, I want you to connect it to Jesus. How much do I look like him? How much do I, and you can't go by just stuff. Well, I got this car, and I got this paid off, and I live here, and I got a, you know, a $500,000 home or $1 million home, and you know, I'm prospering now, and I got this job, and I got this much. Remember that inheritance is not just about stuff, and I'll prove it to you. This is the purpose, that we might be conformed. That means changed into the image of God there, that he might be the firstborn among many sons. Not the only son. Before we were born again, he was called the only begotten son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. After the resurrection, he's called the first begotten. How many of you know, now are we sons and daughters of God? And what is the purpose? God is waiting on us to mature just like Jesus. And I'll show you that it goes a little deeper. Put this up in Amplified. We are assured and we know that God is being a partner in their labor of all things work together and fitted into the plan for good to them. Those who love God and who are called according to his design and purpose. And here's the purpose for those. Here's the purpose. For those he did foreknow. I mean, you know, when you were born in the hospital, God knew you before then. That's when we met you. That's when everybody came and said, well, I didn't know, look just like your daddy. But God knew you before they seen your old nose. Those he did foreknow, whom he was aware of and loved beforehand. Isn't that amazing? God knew the mess we're going to make and said, I'm going to love you beforehand. You've been pre-approved with my love. I know you're going to do some dumb stuff. I know you're going to go through 5 divorces, you woman, at the well. But I still want you. See, we think folks are mixed up and God threw it in. God said, no, I knew your junk before you made it, and I still loved you. I knew your mistakes. I knew your worst sin, and I still loved you. I still got a plan. Those whom he foreknew, he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined. Here's your destiny. This is what it's all about. From the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded, I like this, into the image of his son. Where are the sons of God? Watch this. And share inwardly his likeness. That he might become the firstborn among many sons. Your purpose was to become just like my son, healing, delivering. He came to heal, deliver, and set free. Yes, I blessed him. But I want you to share his inward likeness. So there's more than just about your suit and your car and the house you live in. You still got division. You still got hatred. You still got racism. You still got unforgiveness in your life. And my son ain't like that. So you're not mature yet. You're not ready for the inheritance. I can't turn everything totally over to you. But the more you conform to his inward likeness, what are the fruit of the love, joy, meekness, temperance, faith, long-suffering, kindness? Wow. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Not that this is a Presbyterian church, this is somebody, oh, I didn't know that was a prayer. No, it's just a church that preached the word. That's just a saying. That'll come back up in a minute. Oh, you like them on the inside. You know, you've been singing, I want to be like Jesus. In fact, you sing song, to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Well, Jesus don't cuss waitresses out. And the world is saying, oh, my God, that ain't no son of God. I know they can't get any help. You understand? The world is watching the church. The world been watching the church and all the division and hatred. Folks, that's crying. We got our differences. But whether you left, right, or center, whether you blue, red, whether you're conservative or liberal, our common denominator is that sinner needs our help. Put that junk down. Let's don't let that stuff separate us because the world is watching. He done got political. He's starting to be. No, the vision was already there. For some of you who don't know me, let me introduce to you the whole life of Pastor Ronald L. Diggs. I got saved in 1974 in a Baptist church. And I got saved just supernaturally, got in the word and got turned on the faith. Had no religion. And I believe in teaching the word and getting an understanding. And basically, I was banished because everything I read, I believed. God said, lay hands on the sick. I laid hands on the sick. They recovered as a believer. God says, these signs of Father and believe, they'll speak with new tongue. I prayed in the spirit. I talked to God. Well, that church didn't. That wasn't according to their BTU guy. And basically, I was banished. And when I was basically set free from that church, I joined a mostly white conservative church. My first two pastors, I was in a white conservative church. Who taught the word. And let me tell you what they taught me. Romans 13, which says, there be no powers except those that be ordained of God. All of our elected officials, those that's ordained of God. And that those with authority and rule, I was to pray for them because they're God's ministers for good, talking about law enforcement officers. The policeman and sheriff, and you should submit and obey them, for they are not a terror. You can read it, it's there. Romans 13 chapter, read it and amplify. To good works, but that which is evil. They're your minister for good. So submit to them. I was taught that, and I believe that. But obviously now that ain't true no more. Because the same people who taught me that, there were some people in the Capitol who they took the flag, put eyes out, lost fingers. Those are some thought and rule. This was consistent to a lot of these people. You say, well, wait a minute. That was a different group. Well, wait a minute. That ain't the point. The point is what you do not publicly condemn, you silently affirm. See, some of you can't handle the truth. There you go. I ain't bringing nothing. Don't put it on me. It was already that. But that ain't true no more. You say, well, what's it got to do that? The world is watching that. And they are saying, where are the sons and daughters of God? We got to get better. Jesus prayed that we all might be one. And if it was true way back in the 70s, that you were supposed to obey those as a thorn in the road, it was true weeks ago when folks went in their lawlessness, Lord, all the people. It's okay to do that. That's the message we just said. And the world is saying, what? You can kill folks, squeeze folks, crush them to death, put eyes out, injure 144, and that's okay? Where are the sons of God? Well, we got some work to do. And I'm not preaching from left or right. I'm preaching from the body of Christ. If you can't judge through, there ain't nobody, I don't care what your background is, I don't care what your beliefs are, that can look at me with a straight face and say that that is God or that's a Christian. The fruit of that is not God. And if the church do not condemn it openly, conservative people, then you're affirming it solemnly. You say, that's okay. Kill the next, kill the poor. I wasn't taught that. So don't get mad at me when I bring back what I was taught from the Bible, which is truth. If it was true in 1974, it's true in 2021. Are we all hypocrites? Fruit. Don't lie. And if you condone violence, death, murder, of the law enforcement officer who you taught me was my minister to good. And now, then you don't have to go back to 74. Just go back to this summer. Submit. If they stop you, put your hands on. Submit. There you go. Well, we didn't see people submitting. We didn't see people honoring those who God had ordained. And if the church is going to continue the division that's in it now, which I didn't create, you know, don't put it on Pastor Diggs. You just preach it. No. What it is, people don't want to handle truth. It's better to put your head in the sand. Don't talk about this. I don't want to hear that. No, it's hypocrisy. That's what it is. And if we're going to bring deliverance to the world is going to have to see a unified church. St. John 17, that they all might be one. The glory that thou has given me. A church that's healing the sick, raising the dead. Might have our differences, but when it comes to deliverance of mankind, we all focus on the task at hand. See, y'all can't handle me. And God ain't changed. I was taught that by conservative Christians. I'm going to pray for all those that's in thought and rule. I ain't going to criticize. I'm on that minister. He's my minister good. I'm not going to beat him with the American flag in the name of whatever. I'm not going to gouge people. I'm not going to injure folks. I'm not going to destroy property. And that's what we see. And here's the sad part. It ain't about what you believe, left, right. It's that you forgot the world. Folks without God, they're crying out. They say, oh, man, I might as well go and kill myself. Because if that's the church. You say, but that wasn't the church. Well, let me ask you this, because y'all threw it sexual to me. You had a chance then, the other day, to stand up and condemn it and say, that's wrong. Conservative people did and say, you know what? That is not right. But if you condone it, you're saying to the world, it's okay. And the world said, well, I'm done. I'm not going to shoot myself. I'm not going to OD. Ain't no deliverance in that. And so we got some work to do. Yeah, I know some of y'all got heavy hands. It don't matter. It's truth. Let me tell you something. 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 100 years from now, when we all dead and I'm standing before Jesus, this same Bible, you're going to be judged by the same word. That's why I'm bold to preach it now. We're the church. We got to put down all these indifferences, because until our thinking change, we're going to take that same witness open to this year. And there are a lot of them who decide to go that route. I can't do nothing about it. So what is my job? I'm going to try to mature those that will listen to me. And say, let's put down all that foolishness and go back to helping folk, healing, because the world is crying out. They're waiting for the sons and daughters of God. Amen? That's my job. So, did I ever read the scripture? Did I ever put up a statement where I'm at? Pick me up. Where are they? If I need a statement, throw it up. So Jesus was the firstborn son, and he was predestined to become. We were predestined to come just like him. That's your purpose. Your purpose is not all this other stuff and fighting and arguing and y'all right and we were. That ain't done. I mean, Satan has distracted the church. If I can't stop them from getting saved, let me keep them immature. Let me bring up differences and deaths and division and that. Because the house of violence against itself can't stand. As long as I can keep the drug addict, the whoremonger, the rapist, the murderer, all those that's in prison, as long as I can keep them bound, let the church fuss and argue over isms and schisms, over left and right. Because I'm the devil. I came to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't care who's in power. As long as I can kill folks. This is where the church has been distracted. And God says, I've been waiting on you to become just like my son. If Jesus would come here now, that's true. To conform to the image of the son. If Jesus would come to the earth right now, what do you think the first thing he'll do? What do you think if he saw this pandemic? For what do you think Jesus would do right now? Because he's our example. You know what he'll do. I'll show you the same purpose. You remember? Remember that was your purpose, right? In other words, that's your focus. Now, you're going to have other opinions and this, but don't get pulled away from your purpose, what God foreknew and saw in me and you. That's why people want me to go here and go there. That ain't my purpose. You go, Mom. You go. I ain't called. I got to stay. My thing is getting folks saved, teaching the body of Christ, and getting them healed. I ain't got time for a whole bunch of other stuff. That ain't my purpose. Here's your purpose. 1 John 3:8, King James. He that committed sin is of the devil. The devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose. Those called according to the purpose. Where are the sons of God? Where's the ones with the yoke destroying, healing power? Who can get me free from drugs? What's your purpose? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. Manifest means brought to view. All of a sudden I can see them. They look just like Jesus. For this, that he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Same reason Jesus came, and the same reason as sons of God. That's what the world is waiting on. Can you get me free? Put it up. I'll make it more plain from the Amplified. He who commits sin practices evil doing, that is. Because when you're born again, you don't go around practicing sin. And by the way, it ain't your reborn spirit doing that. It's your flesh and your mind. It's of the devil. Takes his character from the evil one. But the devil's sin violated divine law from the very beginning. The reason, the purpose, the Son of God was made visible. Where are they? Where is someone who can help me? The world is waiting and looking while the church is fussing and arguing and distracted. The drug addict, the woman that's prostituting the body, the man in prison, the one in the pandemic, the homeless, the one who just lost their job contemplating suicide because they got health care. They say, he was made visible to do what? Destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works that the devil has done. It is an amazing that's the purpose of the church right now, according to the word of God. All this other stuff comes down under it.
But we've elevated this. Well, I need this and I need that. I'm leaving here. I don't like that.
Oh, the devil said, woo, carnally minded. Are you not carnal where there's envies and strife and division among you? For one say I'm a Paul, another say I'm a Apollos. One of you say I'm left, one of you say I'm right, one of you say I'm liberal, one of you say, oh, I love it! Because I can continue to keep folks bound. They are out of their purpose. And that is a sign of immaturity. See, I know my purpose. I know some of you would love to just pastor, just stick his head in the sand. No, I'm not going to say, I'm going to preach truth that's relative to the day. That's my purpose. I ain't for or against. I ain't trying to prove. I want the church to get back to helping folks. Because when we stand before Jesus, none of this other junk ain't even going to matter. You're going to be judged. Your purpose. Did you ever grow up and begin to look like Jesus? Because that's why I had you predestinated to be conformed to the very image of God, their Son. Look at 1 John 3. I'm almost done. If the word was true at any time, it's got to be the same thing today. When did the Bible change? We can't cherry pick stuff when it's relative to our side. No. The world is looking at all of this and they're going, wait a minute. Wow. Okay. I know I'm glad I got saved before all this because I probably would have killed myself if I wasn't, how messed up I was. If I was looking at this stuff every day, I would say, ain't no hope. And that's why the suicide rate is so high. Because the church has lost its purpose. Wow. Okay, let's go a little further. Look at Little John. I'm almost done. Little John 3. And let's look at verse 1 through 3. Little John 3. Verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what? Huh? Say it, sons of God. Wherefore the world knows us not. Why don't the world know that we are sons of God? Why is it they can't see the same thing that they see in us that they saw in Jesus? Well, they said knew him not, but there's a reason. Behold, now we're sons of God. When? You don't die and become and go to heaven to become a son of God. You were born again. You're sons of God. But a son, as long as he act like a child, God says, I'm not turning no inheritance over to you. As long as there's image strife, I'm not turning you. You're not ready for power. He said, now we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, and this ain't talking about just Jesus returning, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see Jesus in the word. That's how you see Jesus. As you continue to behold in a mirror the word of God. You ain't got to wait. I mean, if you, look, I'm doing everything I know how to be like him because I found out that was my purpose, for this purpose. He said, those he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the very image of God's dear Son. God wants me to look just like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk the church. Why? That he can be the firstborn, the example for many sons. And now we sons of God. And it does not appear whether he shall be, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, everyone read it together. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. What hope? The hope of being like Jesus. How many of you want to be like Jesus? How many of you want to be like every man that has this hope in him? He said, the world don't know us. They can't see us. Why? We must not look like Jesus yet. I'm trying to be more like him. How do you look like Jesus? How you treat your fellow man? How you walk, how you talk. And notice he said, every man that has this hope in him purify who? One another? No. Your life is a full-time job. You ain't got no time to be sweeping around your own front door. You know, if Pastor did, we just stay with this part. No, you got some stuff. Purify yourself. Get that judgment and attitude. Get the strife out your vocabulary. Get all of that hatred and unforgiveness out of you. A hope of being like Jesus. And he's talking to who? Sons of God, saying, y'all got some stuff y'all need to purify. You got some stuff you need to purge. And then the world will be able to see Jesus. Did y'all hear what I said? So put this statement up, because I'm almost done. As we decrease flesh, I mean, that's the only reason people can't see Jesus, because of flesh, flesh and blood. Many are the sons of God are led by what? Spirit, not their flesh. You made me mad. I'm offended. You hear it? You ain't matured yet. You can't get over your feeling. You can't disagree without being disagreeable, without showing it. That's just like Cain. Why is your countenance falling? Why are you getting mad? Well, that's flesh. God is here. Mature people led by the Spirit. There are a lot of things I don't like. There are things I didn't like the 4 years, but you never knew it. Why? Because I'm mature enough to keep preaching the gospel. I ain't got time for divisions. I got to stay with my purpose. World is waiting on me. There are people streaming in other nations right now, streaming in other states. We get the emails. We get the hit. Thank God for the word. Thank God you're dealing with the elephant that's in the room. Thank God for a truth teller. You might not never tell me, but the world look at fruit. Jesus said you'll know a tree by its fruit. And no one can look me straight in my face and say the fruit that the church has put out here recently, you can see Jesus in it. Nope. Nope. You can say that. So what that flesh? As we decrease flesh and Christ increase spirit, we become more like him. The world will begin to see him. Galatians 2, see Christ. And that's who they want to see. They're crying out for, they'll see a son of God. They'll see little sons of God. Galatians 2:20 says this. I am crucified with Christ. We don't like that word crucified because that means somebody got to cut something. I don't like it. It's a lot of stuff in the church, a lot of flesh, a lot of stuff that ain't of God need to be cut out. But cutting hurts. But you know what? That's part of the healing process. If you're being operated on and you got a bad kidney and they got to take it out, you got to be cut first. It's going to hurt while you're being cut. But guess what? You'll heal. But if you won't never let them make the incision, that just shows you're immature. Jesus said, every branch in me that bear not fruit, I'm going to purge. Even if you're bearing fruit, there's going to be stuff you're going to have to hear that my part is this. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me. Look, God wants us to be, when we crucify our flesh, then you'll see a son. You'll see Christ. And now, I'm the firstborn. He's the first among many. My God, he looks just like him. In the book of Acts, they say, oh, my God, your speech, you talk like him. You look, they healed the sick. They raised the dead. Go back to the book of Acts when the church was first born. They weren't arguing about nothing. They was in one accord in one place. And when the Holy Ghost hit, they began to bring deliverance to the world. And they looked just like Jesus. They were his disciples. They healed like him. They talked like him. Peter and John going in the temple of prayer. Oh, my God, there's a son of God. The man at the beautiful gate was expecting to receive alms. They said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have in the name of Jesus. I got Jesus. And the man got healed. He was there waiting for a son of God, somebody to manifest himself. Nothing has changed. We've lost our purpose. Because we won't grow up. The devil ain't the problem. It's growing up. It's putting our flesh under, crucifying it. We're letting things in the flesh separate us from one another. That when you stand before God, ain't even going to matter in the kingdom. Whether you were left, right, middle, moderate, that won't matter. He's going to say, what did you do with my power? What did you do with the brokenhearted, the bruised, the blind, those that was in drug addicts, those that been abused? Why can't they see the Son of God? Too much flesh. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. So anyone that's following Jesus, get ready for stuff to be cut away, as uncomfortable as it is. Amen. That's what the word do. It purges us from the stuff you and I don't need. So before I close, Let me throw this in there and make this statement. Now, I'll tell you what. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go on and let me get this out. Then I'll close and I'll make this statement. Ain't y'all learning anything? I'm trying to show you what our purpose is. To be conformed as sons. The world is waiting on the sons of God. Jesus was just the firstborn among many. We should all be looking like him, talking like him. But too much flesh today. Too much strife. Too much division. Satan loves it. The bound stay bound. The brokenhearted stay brokenhearted. The captives stay captives. And the imprisoned stay in prison. While the church is fussing and arguing. Oh, not everybody. I'm just using that generally. So if they ain't, he'll just say, glory to God. That's right. I'm glad I'm on this side. I'm glad I'm not on that offended side. I'm glad I'm not. Amen. I'm trying to show you from the enemy's standpoint. He don't care nothing. They couldn't stop you from getting saved. But if I can keep him caught, God will never release the wealth that it's going to take. Let me tell you something. If God released all the wealth, unlimited wealth, every Cheerio box, every Wheaties box, we can have a scripture on everything. Money, if we had all the wealth, we can change the world. We can evangelize the world. But God says you need to grow up. It's all yours, but I can't trust you with it. You won't even go after the heathen. You won't. I am. Make me a billionaire, Lord. I'll change the world. And it's happening. Unlimited wealth. See, we get, because we think we get comfortable in our love. You got three cars and got this and got the bigger house. And that ain't no reason. Look, man, that's still people need help. Oh, Lord, I better read this. Ephesians chapter 4. Here I go again. I got to get out. Look at verse 8. But unto every one of us is given gifts according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then he names those gifts. Well, verse 8 says, wherefore, when he ascended, he led captivity, he gave gifts unto men. What gifts did he give? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, that they might do the work of the ministry, which is undoing the works of the devil, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, not doctrine, not politics, unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. What man is he talking about? He's talking about that same man. When I was a child, I spake as a child, thought as a child. But when I became a mature man, I put away that stuff. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. God, time to grow up. Tossed to and fro, carried by with every wind of doctrine, slight of men. Whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, be able to handle the truth when I tell it to you in love, might grow up, see, it's growing in the sonship, and all things which are said, even Christ, for whom the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted that by which every joint supply, the effectual work in a measure, every part, make it increase of the body of the edifying of itself in love. God joined us together, but he's not going to hold us together. It's your job to hold me. I don't care what my color, right? I don't care what my pain is. It's my, you're my brother, you're my sister. And instead of finding out our differences, what do we have in common? Well, Pastor, this believing, winning the loss. If it's not, well, that's the main thing we should have in common. All the rest of it, I can forbear. It's up to us. God joined us together. It's almost like when you got married. Just because you got married, ain't no one making you stay together. It's still some difference. Man, when you get married is when you really start finding out the difference. Because while y'all were dating, you didn't have to go home with him. You didn't see all that attitude. You didn't smell the bad breath. You didn't see the old nasty whatever they're going to have on and the crazy looking hair. They were looking good. They all went, but when, after your dating day's over and they wake up and they got piece of breath and they're mad and they're acting all crazy. He's doing like that. And what's wrong with you? Well, we all always. And you know, that's when you begin to really know. And ain't nothing keeping y'all from getting a divorce but the fact that you have to look beyond that and say, well, she can cook good. She do work. I'm going to let go all that. God put us together, but I'm going to hold this marriage together. That's the same way the church is. There's never going to be a time that we agree on everything. But the one thing that's got to hold us together is the thing that God had in mind. We was called to be sons and daughters of God and bring deliverance to a dying world. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, black, white, left, right, whatever. I hold to you. But now what the devil saying? No. The Bible says the last days men will have itching ears. They will run, keep their own self. Teachers who will tell them exactly what they want to hear. Sign of immaturity. Soon as you can't handle truth, someone speak it in love, you go running off. Sign of immaturity. You ain't grown up yet. And we're going to get into this. True sons can receive correction. For what father is there that have a son who correct him not? If you be without chastisement, you're bastards. Thank God someone loved you enough to say, wait a minute, you're getting a little, you, as a shepherd, you take that thing and you have to pull that sheep back into the fold and say, you're getting a little too far out over here, a little far here. The words say this.
You don't tell me what to do. I put my pants on one leg at a time just like you.
Well, first of all, you didn't see me put my pants on this morning. I could have jumped in them. But that ain't got nothing to do with it. It's honoring the position for someone watching for your soul. And it's going to take, and I watched this. I was in churches that I didn't agree with stuff. This ain't the first time. Look, I've been about a Christ 45 years. I've seen both sides. And it wasn't that I agreed with everything, but I was mature enough to keep preaching the gospel. Whether I like that or not, I will forbear in love and hold to them anyhow. Because the world is looking. Nobody cares when you stay together. But when you break up, everybody knows. Y'all hear about so-and-so? Yeah, I knew they wasn't like, he should have married me. But he got with all she wanted was in my head. Now everybody talking. And that's what the world is doing. They're all of them talking. We're the brunt of social media. We're the brunt of late-night comedy. So the church is. And they're saying, well, why they ain't looking at them? Let's just stay drunk and get high. They can't do that. And but there are people still crying out. And I'm going to say something. Jesus never stopped being a true son to his father. Son don't mean you cease to be son. You can become a father. Both of my sons was grown up and got children. You know, one of them have children of himself, but they're still my son. Rashad is still my son. He got kids. I got grandkids. He don't stop being my son. In other words, you stay submitted. A true son. Jesus never stopped being a son to his father when he was 12 years old. What did he say? I must be about my father's business. I wasn't talking about Joseph. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, ready to die. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Even after the resurrection, Mary, go to my God and your God and my father and your. He never stopped being a father. I don't care what I teach, what I say, a true son, a true daughter, said, that is my daddy. I got to, he's speaking the truth. I can't see this, but I know he loves so. I can see the fruit of his labor. I'm not going to take one incident or two. I'm going to look at the whole of his or her life and say, that's my daddy. And I know who my spiritual father is. I know who got me and my family delivered. I know where my covering is. You don't never see, that's true. And all the enemy wants to do is get us out of place. We got to hold to one another. I don't agree with a lot of stuff you do. You just don't know it. That's your life. I can't come and try to tell you how to run your house. But I'm the pastor here. And I'm doing my best to bring, speak the truth in love to everybody. I don't care who you are, black, white, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. I have a job to do. So put these statements up, and then I'll go back over that scripture. Only mature, unified church can bring deliverance to a dying world. I got to hurry up and finish. He said that we might grow into the maturity of what? Sons and daughters, that you henceforth be no more children.
I don't agree.
Okay, then, I don't like what you did. But you know the thing that hold me, keep me going here? It's because I know you love God and I love God. And together, we can get people healed. Together, we can change the world. Together, we can change Tina. Together, we can hurt those that are blind. That's maturity. Love don't seek not its own way. I don't have to have it my way, as long as the common denominator is that I don't even have to get the credit. When you go down Ford assembly line, someone put on the tire, someone put on the brakes, someone put on this, someone put the interior. But at the end, it's called a Ford. They all get the credit. They all had a part. I got you. So only mature, unified church can bring deliverance to a dying world. Genesis 11, 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one. They all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they're going to do. And nothing they imagine to do will be impossible for them because they're one. On the day of Pentecost, one place, one accord, power hit. Why? They matured. Put up my other statement. My job as pastor then is to help you transform sons of God into Jesus' image. That's my job, is to get you changed. I ain't care about all that other stuff you agree and think on. That's your own opinion. I ain't never fought nobody over how they thought, so leave me alone. I'm just trying to help you transform into the bigger picture, your purpose. 1 John 3:18, and we can look at that again later. I want to put this on tape, put it up. 2 Corinthians, rather, 3:18. And all of us, because unfilled faces, because we do what? Where I point y'all to? Every Sunday, every two, to the Word. Go back to, let's see what the Word say about this. We continue beholding the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We are constantly being transfigured into the very own image, in every decrease and splendor from one degree to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is that spirit. We are being transferred into his image. What was the purpose? Huh? God, those he did for, no, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his dear son. The only way you're going to do like that is not by what I believe and how I think. It's me saying, look, the word says this. And I've been in this thing for 40-some years, and I'm not about to let certain scriptures that I know true go. I don't care who stick their head in the sand. I don't care who don't want to deal with reality. I don't care who want to live in an unreal world or non, like that ain't happening. That is happening. I'm going to judge truth. I'm going to say the word say this. And that's that. And why? What is that going to do? Make you this or that? Live right? No. It's going to make you more like Jesus. That word is going to make you more like, it'll transform you, means change you into the image. And that's what the world is waiting on. Where are the sons of God? I don't care about your politics. I don't care if you're left or right. That man that had been blind from birth, sinner, not sinner, black, white, Baptist, Methodist, left, right, conservative, liberal. All I know, I was blind, but praise God, now I can see. Forget all that other junk. I was crying out for help. When we get back to that, our purpose. Now, I didn't do this. I'm through. God bless y'all. Hope y'all got something at home. Get this whole message. Continue. Stand with growing in the sonship.